This is the Best of the OG with Ovius and Giglio podcast, part of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network. Enjoy the best of today's show. Here's Ovius and Giglio.
Days of rain. It looks like the gorgeous weekend is finally coming through, which is nice. Looking forward to watching some college football this weekend. Big game between North Carolina and Wake Forest on Saturday.
You really are different, aren't you?
How so?
You're looking forward to watching college football this weekend.
Why?
Put you in a minority.
Why is that?
The golf?
Yeah, no, I'm good. Yeah, I'm good. Sunday morning I'll watch. But I'm going to spend my time on Saturday watching NC State and Wake Forest. I'll even be the sucker who watches what will probably be an ugly game between Florida State and NC State, right? At 7:30. I think that's on the ACC network.
The golf will be over by then, so you're safe.
Is the golf not over now? It gets like dark now, doesn't it?
Well, they won't even complete the second round.
No, I know. They're not going to complete the second round. They got delayed from yesterday, and that obviously is a problem. Now, I know that NC State and Florida State are going to play as of now. I know that North Carolina and Wake Forest are going to play as of now. But if you're looking across the college landscape, we are starting to see more and more postponements or straight-up cancellations. It's getting bad in college football. And you're looking at about, of all the games that have been played this season through 11 weeks, about 15% of FBF games have been postponed or canceled. And it's actually gotten greater than that after I had jotted that note down, because Arizona State, they're in the middle of it. I think Herm Edwards tested positive for coronavirus. I think six staffers in all on the Sun Devils team tested positive. I think Gardner Webb and Charlotte, they got straight up canceled just before we started the show because Gardner Webb is dealing with a COVID outbreak. So here we
are.
Charlotte again.
Man.
I feel bad for them, man. I feel bad for them. So you're looking at about 15% of FBF games that have been postponed or canceled. And we're getting to the point where the disruption back in October was manageable, but we're running out of runway as these things start to pile up. So
which
like you
gets us to.
Yeah, well, take a look at the SEC. They lost four of their seven games for this weekend, and they're running out of space. The ACC only had one game that was postponed this weekend. It's already been rescheduled, I think, for December 12th. That's the Georgia
Tech-Pittsburgh game.
Pitt game,
they
right?
Neither had a game previously canceled, so they still had that one wiggle room, the 12th,
yeah.
Open.
So, to your point, it's getting us now to... it's getting real for the college football playoff. I don't want to act like we've been sitting here telling you this for the last couple of weeks.
We have.
But we have.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's a thing where the college football playoff has also been monitoring this and they don't want to say anything loud.
Yeah, not about COVID, but about the structure of the schedule.
Yes.
And what we're not doing a victory dance there. What we're saying is the people who run college football need to be more cognizant of what they're doing. And that would be the playoff. And not only have we said should they expand it, but they should stop with the hard and fast deadline of 12-19.
Interesting you bring that up, because Bob Bowlsby, who's the Big 12 commissioner, was on Sirius XM satellite radio on their college station. I forgot what the name of it is. I think it's like the ESPNU station or whatever it is. And he did answer a question from the host about a potential of the college football playoff being delayed.
Do you think there's a high likelihood that the college football playoff gets moved back?
Well, I'm on the CFP operations committee, and we've spent some time talking about that. We haven't come to any closure on it, but there is some latitude to postpone if that need should arise, and the same is true with some of the New Year's Six games. But you know, within reason, you can do those things. I don't know that I see us playing a championship game in February, but you just never know. These are unusual times, and things that might otherwise not be acceptable have to be considered in this kind of circumstance.
That's Bob Bowlsby, the commissioner of the Big 12 on Sirius XM Radio, talking about a potential delay for the college football playoff. So, what are we delaying? Are you delaying it because you want to get more games in?
That's the part where maybe doesn't make sense.
Doesn't make any sense.
I think we probably know already which four teams, or out of the group of what, six?
If I were the College Football Playoff Committee or if I were an AD, I wouldn't be looking at a delay because a delay doesn't do anything for you for a variety of reasons. You just alluded to it. We know who's good at this point in time. We know which teams, more importantly, are invested in the season.
Yes, which ones care.
Because that is a developing storyline I'm not quite sure we've really addressed on the national level. We've kind of danced around it. We've discussed it. But I don't think on the national level we've truly discussed the fact that there's a good chunk of teams that at this point are probably going, why are we playing?
Related on our level, the Florida State-NC State line went up again today.
Really?
Yeah. It's 11.5 now. And I get it. All these Florida State players are leaving.
Yeah.
Opened at 6.5. Now it's at 11.5.
Well, when we did the video for What's on Your Card,
it was 8.5.
No, it was actually 9.5. Well, it was 9.5 when we recorded it.
11.5. I mean, it's just going up and up and up. And I think what you see with those brand name teams, Joe, Florida State's still a brand name team, is that if they're not in it, we see this with Michigan. You know, if they're not in it, what are they? What are they doing? Penn State, what are we doing?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Georgia already has two losses.
This was something that Bud Elliott, who covers recruiting for 24/7 Sports, alluded to last week when he was looking at, because what Bud does, he tries to write a blurb on every game from the weekend. It's a daunting task, but somehow Bud manages to do it. Bud's a good follow if you don't follow him on Twitter if you're into college football. So he tries to write a blurb about every game. And he said, in watching these games, eating tape as he does, he can already tell, okay, they don't want to be here. And it's making it really difficult to assess coaching. It's getting difficult to assess players for the draft or what you can expect of them next season because what they're doing right now doesn't really make any sense.
With no practice or very little practice.
Or worst case, or actually I want to say worst case, but new case situation, because we talked about this earlier for the ACC specifically when games were being postponed. Like remember NC State and Virginia Tech kind of dealt with
opener,
that.
Sure.
And we looked at, well, you've got an open date. And you've got an open day. I think we talked about this with North Carolina and Clemson. Hey, Charlotte's not playing. Clemson's not playing this weekend. So if you guys got an open date, why don't y'all just play? Let's make this happen. Everybody wins, right? But of course, everybody kind of shot that down because it's too short a notice and everything else. You know what is going to happen in the Pac-12 now that some games have been canceled?
Yeah, you're right. It's going to be a jamboree, right?
It's going to be a jamboree. According to multiple reports, with Utah and UCLA being canceled, the conference will look into the feasibility of Cal playing at UCLA. Little clarity as to what would go, you know, going forward, but you're looking at two teams playing each other with 24 to 48 hours notice. That's pretty wild.
It is, and I do wonder about the Pac-12 because, remember, we said the Big Ten all along was about getting Ohio State into the playoff. Well, what is the Pac-12 doing? I mean, you see the way that Arizona State is ravaged. You see that they've been talking about Cal having to move from their campus in order to compete this year. And I think that actually, obviously not related to the Pac-12, but San Jose State, I believe, has had to move where they practice and do everything basically because of the state of California restrictions.
David Pollack, who is on ESPN Game Day, was on SportsCenter, and he's kind of alluding to the things that we've been talking about, that the reality of the college football playoff happening on time or happening with a very good pool of criteria to base your decisions on is starting to dwindle, and it's starting to hit the college football playoff.
I think it's reality setting in, you know? I mean, I think they want to keep the dates, right, and they want to preserve it, but if you're looking at what's going on, good luck with that. I mean, it's going to be extremely difficult. And, yeah, we can throw certain games on certain dates, but you can't with conference championships. And if you're going to continue to have mandated rules of they have to play X amount of games to get to your destination, then you're going to have to make changes. So I think it sounds good, and I want to protect January 1st, and I understand all that stuff, but this is a year of craziness, and this is a year of wild. So I know we want football on that date, and we want to sit around the TV on January 1, but I think those have to be pushed back for the good of the sport, and we have to continue to explore those options. And I think they will, but they don't want to. They're not open-minded about it. They just might be forced to.
That's the thing. They don't want to. That's David Pollack on ESPN. Throw in the fact that there's really nothing to play for teams like Florida State, and you see that with the line. The idea that we're going to have bowl games, I also think, is a pipe dream at this point, right?
Beyond the playoffs?
Yeah, beyond the playoffs.
I have a hard time with it. The whole premise of this year, from an altruistic standpoint,
mm-hmm.
was to give seniors who have worked their whole adult lives and in their teen years to get to this point, to have a senior year, to have a payoff to all the work you've put in. It's about it was about the opportunity for them to play. Now, we're seeing some relish that opportunity. We're seeing others. And let's be honest. NC State's not in any kind of playoff position.
No, they're not.
But their guys are pouring it out. Their guys are totally invested.
Hey, that's why I have pointed out several times that the coaching job by Dave Dorn and that staff is to be commended, regardless of how their season ends up. It's to be commended, given everything else we've seen.
And ECU plays tonight. We've seen them play some great games
when they're not getting screwed by the officials,
but even in a game like that, right. You know what I'm saying? Like, great. What I mean by that is the effort,
the level,
investment.
Yeah.
And that's not to shortchange Wake Forest, who started 0-2 and has won 4 in a row. It's not just to shortchange Carolina, who's been inconsistent and should have been better than they are. But what I'm getting to is the season was supposed to be about the opportunity. Well, I think they've tried mm-hmm. to give these players, the athletes, their opportunity. Now might be a good time to reevaluate, hey, how much of that are you owed, and what do we have to do to complete this season? If that means having, Joe, a 16-team playoff,
mm-hmm.
then shut everything down right now and set up a playoff tree, set it up when you think it would be safe to do, play it out, and move it along.
It's funny you mentioned that, because I had jotted down, if you're the college football playoff,
if you or I were in charge right now,
why wouldn't you start thinking about, okay, by now we kind of know which teams would be in the running for a college football playoff. We don't want to settle on 4. You say 16, I'll maintain 8. But you basically tell the 8 teams, hey, guys, we're good. Let's shut everything down. We'll reconvene in a bubble environment. You know, Jerry Jones will be more than happy to host you at
Vegas,
the Star, or do it in Vegas.
Atlanta.
Anywhere, right? There's any number of places will be more than happy to accommodate you. And you go ahead and you rework your television deal with, hey, look, you're not going to get your typical college football playoff, but we're going to have this one-time-only thing that occurs, and people are going to watch the potential of all these teams playing. So I think, again, this is big brain.
If okay? Adam Silver were in charge of college football?
Right. This is a situation where we can think in high resolution. Unfortunately, the powers that be in college football or college athletics in general continue to work with low resolution. We're out here 4K, they're 480p. I don't know why this is so hard. It's so cheap to get 4K these days, too. I don't understand what the problem is. Bomani Jones, ESPN, Right Time is the podcast. Highly Questionable is the show. What's up, man?
Good, man. How are you?
It's been a week. You know, it's you're seeing all these things with college football, and then I start getting mad at college basketball because they've had a lack of vision of, did you really think you're going to be able to pull, like, you're the ACC. You really think you could pull off 20 conference games as things are getting worse with COVID? Come on, guys.
No, they think they can schedule 20 conference games. And then just in case they can, they'll have a schedule for 20 conference games.
Jeez.
That's the play for everybody. That was the play with football. Like, look, we're going to schedule this and give ourselves a chance to do it. And if we can't, we can't, but we're going to try. Like, this, look, man, this money got to be got. These
yes.
bills have to be paid.
Yeah, as I joked earlier, John Swofford might be in charge. The ADs might in charge. ADs might be in charge. The presidents might be in charge. But we all have to answer to somebody a little bit higher every so often. And that person might happen to sound like Mickey Mouse. And they want their games on. So they're going to do what they do.
But just think about it this way, right? Let's say, Matt, what you don't want to wind up in is where the Big Ten and the Pac-12 wound up with football, where they made the prudent call at the time,
yeah,
and then things got good enough to look like you could play, and then you wind up looking like a laughingstock. You got to throw this thing back together. It's been demonstrated that the move is to go ahead and try to figure it out on the front end and then cancel on the back.
Right? Yes.
Are we going to have a college football playoff?
So that's what I was going to go with next. If you were, let's say the three of us were in a room and we were in charge of trying to come up with a college football playoff alternative, I wouldn't go the route of Bob Bowlsby, the Big 12 commissioner, who said on SiriusXM satellite radio that we would delay it. No, what I would do is call it now. We know which teams are invested. We know which teams would probably be in the running for the college football playoff. Call it now, expand it to 8, find a place where you can bubble and try to play some games. That's what I would try to do. Or am I just looking at this from a perspective that takes the equation? I'm taking the player equation out of it.
Well, I think you are to a degree, but let us also, like, I feel like, let's be reminded that we all grew up with questionable champions. It's okay.
Ah,
this doesn't have to be definitive.
That's the other route. That's the other route we could go, because Gilio and I have joked about this. Are we nostalgic for a time where teams would play random bowl games and we could just sit there and come up with our own championships in our head and just let the arguments roll?
I mean, I never had a problem with it in the first place. I maybe it's just because I'm more free-minded than everybody else and they need to be told, sheep. You know what I'm saying? But I was always good with coming up with it ourselves.
But Monty Jones joining us here on the OG alongside Joe Giglio. I'm Joe Ovius. Do you know what happened 11 years ago today?
11 years ago
11
today.
11 years ago today. Where were you 11 years ago today? I know where
I know what I was. I know where I was 11 years ago today. I was probably at my damn house because I didn't have a job no more. Is this the day of the Harrison Barnes Skype?
Yes, it is. 11 years ago today, Harrison Barnes Skyped Roy Williams instead of Mike Krzyzewski. And I would make the argument that we're still feeling the repercussions of that day today.
It's what slapped Krzyzewski around and realized things had to change, right? Like, if we couldn't get the dude that plays the sax in the band in Iowa because he wasn't filling the dudes on the visit, I need to get some new dudes in here for the next visit.
So I would also throw in, while it slapped Coach K getting with the program also put John Calipari in a very strange spot today.
Yeah, well, yes. Once Duke decided that they were going to play a similar game to what Krzyzewski was playing, and for what it's worth, it took Mike a long time before he started playing the game the way that Calipari was playing it, right? Because by this time, I want to say Duke already had a commitment from Kyrie Irving. And then they were going through and getting like one or two of these dudes a year. And then it was that 2014 year where he's like, fine, give me as many as you got. I'll take them all. I swear to God, I'll take them all.
But Monty Jones, ESPN, joining us on the OG. I'm Joe Giglio. That's Joe Ovius. Are they better off, Bo, with the way that they've gone, Duke? I know they have the title in 15 to show for it, but do you think that Duke is better off with the way that Krzyzewski's gone and where he's been reliant on the one-and-done players?
All right, so the only thing that makes this a little tricky to answer is that 07, 08, and 09. So 07, I want to say, is the year that they lost to VCU. 08 is the year that they lost to West Virginia, and 09 is when they lost to Villanova, and they didn't have a single player that could get dribble from the perimeter to the basket against Villanova, right? Like, they were so down at that point. But in the end game, the results really haven't been that much different in the last 10 years versus the 10 years before, have they?
Well, they had the title in 15. They had the title in 10. The 10 would be, you know, pre one and done era. So you're right.
That was the hilarity.
Right, and no other Final Fours, right? Like a couple of Elite Eights. I would say three Elite Eights, but no Final Fours outside of that.
Right, other than the 15.
Other than that one. Yeah, and the hilarity of the 10 season was, remember when Harrison Barnes Skyped, and that was the other fun part about 11 years ago, a lot of people were introduced to Skype for the first time.
Yes.
Well, 10 was the year they were supposed, well, not supposed to. They had recruited John Wall. Kentucky was the big team, was the it team.
recruited. Put them big old finger quotes
up
there.
I used it.
How you go recruit somebody in Raleigh and not go to any of their games?
Yeah, it's kind of the difficult thing to do there. But it was a signal, though. It was like, all right, we're going to start letting people know, start kind of planting the seed that's when the this is how we hoop era, you know, as you used to make fun of back in the day. But you also noticed, too, they completely changed their social media and how they presented themselves. And now Duke on social media is a juggernaut when it comes to the engagements, when it comes to, I mean, they blow away professional teams in terms of how they go about their social media and get in front of people.
All right, so let's talk about this whole breakdown from really like 08, 09 up until now for people who were not around and for people who don't remember that I used to do a radio show in this market, all right? I spent a lot of time making the point that the image that Duke was portraying of their basketball program had proven to be repellent to top level recruits. I had a whole lot of people get real mad at me about that. Hell, Joe, me and you had a conversation about that. Everybody thought I was just being, well, not you thinking I was being a little racist, but people thought that I was being a little racist. But I'll never forget is the excitement that people had about the 2009 recruiting class, no, 2010 recruiting class. Mm-hmm. The excitement that people had when all they knew was that the dudes were black. That was all they knew. It was Josh Harrison, Andre Dawkins, and Tyler Thornton at the time.
Yeah.
And all they knew was recruiting was up because they had got some black dudes and wasn't none of them dudes like actually really any kind of good, right? Like I got all kinds of hell for that point. And then all of a sudden they lost Harrison Barnes and they looked up and everybody was like, okay, cool. So what we got to do? And then they got on board and flipped up the whole thing because they had a program that appealed to parents more than it appealed to players. Now we got a whole generation of players that doesn't even remember what the thing used to be about Duke.
No, not at all. And now it's a players first program, and they've done a very good job of trying to combine. That's why I brought up the social media aspect of it, because Kay's been very open about this. Coach K has said, look, we've got our brand, but we also have to tell them, hey, your brand helps us too. Let's combine the things. I mean, that's how they sold Zion Williamson in a lot of ways, because he had so many follows on Instagram. We can elevate this a little bit more. We're on TV all the time. It's all about the branding. Now, the results are a little bit different. I guess what happens to Kentucky fans, it happens to Duke fans, and to a certain extent, it might even happen to North Carolina fans, because during that time, you remember the groups that North Carolina was getting while they were going through the NCAA crap, while Coach K was going out and getting one and dones, there was this, hey, you know, we used to get all this NBA talent, and Dean Smith was the one that would tell you to go pro first. He was the one who did this first. But then remember, all of a sudden it turned into a, hey, we got guys who want to be here, and this veteran group really helps us out. There was a little bit of a flip in how Duke and Carolina fans talked about the talent that was going there. I would say that we're starting to see a little bit of a flip back, because there are plenty of Duke fans that are probably tired of this one-and-done stuff because they don't know who's playing this year. They got like a top three recruiting class. They don't know who this is.
No, they don't know who's playing, but on top of that, the results have not been that much superior to what Carolina's done. Like, one thing about Carolina when they were getting that higher level of recruit was they were getting them, but overwhelmingly they were still staying. Like, Marvin Williams stayed for 1 year and left. Brandon Rice stayed for 1 year and left. None of us ever thought that Ty Lawson or Wayne Ellington were ever going to stay in school for 3 years. And they did, right? None of us thought that Tyler Zeller would stay for four. Henson would stay for four. Even Barnes staying for two. Like, the dudes would wind up staying longer than anybody thought. But then again, we talk about this last decade of performance for Carolina. What's it? Two Final Fours and a national championship? I mean, that sounds a lot like Duke. And that's before you start talking about, like, the Kendall Marshall what-ifs.
Bomani Jones, ESPN, Right Time is the podcast.
I'm still trying to figure out how he pulled Josh Harrison and Thornton's name out of his back pocket that.
I know Bomani well enough to know he's quick on the internet.
How?
He's quick on the internet. He's good.
No, I didn't look that up.
Oh, you didn't look that up?
Because I spent so much time trying to explain this to people.
This is true.
I understand
right.
this, but
no,
like,
you're right. You're right.
And even the exits, the NCAA exits you had in the right order, too. Like, you're saying things, Bo, and I'm checking that. I'm like, how is he doing this? Because you haven't thought about this stuff in how long?
I have actually been sitting here thinking to myself, wow, how do I still know this?
Right, yeah, it's amazing.
I honestly thought you were just, because I know how you are. You can multitask. So,
no, uh-uh.
Bomani's a really good multitasker. I remember him doing radio shows and he was playing Angry Birds while just spitting out whatever. I'm like, how are you doing this? Like, I don't get this, but it is what it is.
You did miss Kyrie in the 2010 class, though.
No, I did not miss him. At the time, it was before,
before
Kyrie
committed.
Yeah,
okay.
Before.
Because remember, Andre Dawkins wound up being in the class before.
Yeah, he moved up, yeah.
After Elliot Williams left, they were like, oh, we need somebody, preferably a black person.
Bomani Jones joining us here on the OG alongside Joe Giglio. I'm Joe Obias. All right, before we say goodbye, The Weeknd was announced as the Super Bowl halftime performer. Putting aside the fact that, do we even have a Super Bowl? I think we will, but if you have a Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah, they're going to have a Super Bowl.
They're going to have a Super Bowl.
I don't know who's going to be in it.
The NFL has done a good job of going back to the pop spectrum after the whole Janet Jackson, Justin Timberlake thing, and they started going through their Rolodex of old legacy acts. But I feel like they've missed it on this one. I have to imagine that the only way that The Weeknd is successful with the Super Bowl halftime show, where he's got only 5 number one hits, most people will go, oh, I recognize that song, but they don't know who he is. Doesn't Drake have to show up to the Super Bowl?
I mean, I imagine that he will probably be there. Although, like, I don't know where Drake is holding up during this pandemic, because Canada might not want him back.
This is true.
Right after he comes down here into our cesspool.
This is true.
But like that was, you hit what my question was with The Weeknd, which is, I don't really know how famous he is.
I don't think he's famous at all. I mean, Jillio and I happened to be at the same Justin Timberlake show back in, what, 7 years
13,
ago?
Yeah.
Right. And The Weeknd opened up for Justin Timberlake. I pointed this out, and you know how many people went, wait.
He was?
Excuse me? Now, mind you, this was when he had put out, what, House of Balloons, which was like an underground, like people who read Pitchfork knew what that album was. So nobody paid attention to it. But here he is today, and I still think most people would not recognize it. I think, though, the reason why we're here with somebody like The Weeknd is that your age range, my age range, Julio's age range, it doesn't matter, because the people who know who The Weeknd is know it through TikTok, know it through social media dances and all that kind of stuff. Because one thing, like this Blinding Lights song, it's been a hit for like 46 weeks, mainly because I keep seeing it on TikTok all the time.
Yeah, no, I thought that this was an interesting call on their part to do this, but I'm guessing somebody up there must be telling them that they need to get more young people on it.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting at. If you're going to get people, if you are worried about ratings and you got to start bringing in a different audience and things like that, because I think NFL ratings, for obvious reasons, are about 6% lower at the midway point than they were this time last year, but there's all sorts of reasons for this. If you're worried about an aging demographic, the best way to do it with a Super Bowl halftime show is to go and get the guy that a lot of the young people recognize through how they consume music these days. And I guess that would be through TikTok. Don't ask me to know anything about TikTok. Like, I'm just now trying this for station purposes, and I'm my head's underwater on this one. Regardless,
I don't want no new apps, man. Dude. I don't want no new apps. I saw the social dilemma. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, yeah.
Ain't nobody out here trying to do me no favors.
Yeah, I get that aspect from it. But what I've learned about TikTok, it's when you were 16, you had all the time in the world, man. You could get into an album, right? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You could get into an album. You could get creative with stuff. I had time all day to make mixtapes and all those types of things. So you can't compete with a 16-year-old who's got nothing going on. So they're going to be creative as hell. It's like a full-time job. And then the professional companies that are doing TikToks, they got like a team of 5 people working on that stuff. I'm too old for this stuff now, man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. This whole range of 16, they have all the time in the world. And like when I was 16, all that time in the world meant that we was trying to like spend that time with, shall we say, each other. You know what I mean? These kids are not as interested in that per the studies.
No.
They would rather be on TikTok, and it's a little odd.
That was my thought about watching The Bachelorette the other night, Bo. Like, I was surprised because it felt like a dating app in real life. But then I was like, this generation, they don't know how to interact with each other. Then I was explained to me that The Bachelorette was 39, so.
Yeah.
these kids are in the, like, I don't want to call it a fish in a barrel generation, but. Like, they ain't that much dice rolling going on, right, to see if she, right, likes you. Which, by the way, I would have loved when I was 16, right? Please let me know it's okay first. Thank you.
I mean, Jillio was just explaining his sweet 16 heartbreak.
Oh, man. Oh.
Yeah, the sweet 16 heartbreak?
Three different times.
Three different times?
That was a thing in New Jersey. We had sweet 16 parties. Like, it was like a dance or something.
Yeah, see, in South Florida, they were quinceañeras. That's where the big parties were.
Okay.
But anyway.
Well, not that elaborate like you're seeing on the...
So it's like you're talking like homecomings, that kind of thing.
But it was like somebody would rent a place and you'd go. But like there was 3 that fall and I got dumped at each one of them.
So were you got
by 3 different people.
Dumped.
Yes, dumped.
Jeez.
Yikes.
Dude.
Oh, man. Like my most heartbreaking story is when I was 14, my first date, I had invited this girl to go with me to the movies. And like my sister gave us a ride and like I was... like nervous and all that stuff. Man, we got to the movies and her actual date showed up.
Oh,
okay.
That was the worst. Ouch.
Dang, dude.
What did you do? What did you do then?
Yeah, what happened in that situation?
It was wild because I went and played some video games because somebody else had come with us. It was her homegirl, and her homegirl tried to explain to me why I shouldn't be mad, which I was really not trying to hear at all.
14, so and 8th so, grade?
He was heading to 11th not long after that.
Yeah, he was in the higher grades. at a younger age.
Yeah, I was 15. Actually, now that I look at it, I think I may have been 15.
Yeah, so it's like for me, I was going to say my sophomore year at high school, Boca Raton High School, I asked this girl, Nicole, to go to homecoming. And she's like, oh, I'm just going with some girlfriends or whatever. I don't want to go with anybody. And the next thing you know, I'm watching her make out with this dude on the dance floor. I'm like, oh, okay, I see.
It's not you.
Yeah, it's like that.
I'm like, oh.
It's me.
It was me.
Yeah, it was me the whole time.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. Yeah, I caught some L's, man. Like, actually, I don't know how many L's I caught, but that was a big L to start.
I don't know what was more embarrassing 14, that yeah. night for me. It was either the girl that I was interested in just telling me it's me, or when my dad, when my parents came to pick me up from the homecoming dance.
Uh-oh.
And with some friends, it was my dad who had been with some friends earlier, probably a bottle of wine or two in, opening up the door and going, wow, look at all these dressed up people. And I just, not under my breath, but with a very low growl, I said, Dad, get back in the car. He still remembers that story to this day. He goes,
How could he not?
It's like, I've never seen you more embarrassed. I was like, well, now I'm a dad, and I can't wait to do that to my kids. So,
one thing I appreciate about my parents is they ain't never been on the We Gonna Embarrass You program. Like, my parents have never embarrassed me in front of my friends for their own entertainment. I really appreciate that about them.
Meanwhile, we got a whole generation of kids that are getting embarrassed on social media because the clicks. That I'll never do. Bomani Jones.
Thank you.
Bomani Jones, ESPN, Right Time is the podcast, Highly Questionable is the show. All right, man, we'll talk to you next week.
All right, man, you guys be good.
So the week is wrapping up, and we spent a lot of time giving you takes. Sometimes those takes go in one ear and out the other because you're busy. You might be driving and distracted. You might be at work and somebody wants to talk to you about work and rather than listen to us. So we saved the space to get really, really loud with truth bombs.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
We got the bombs over Baghdad. We got the flex bomb to make that point really stand out. And I yell. And I'm going to do something that Coach K and Roy Williams are too classy to do. Hey, remember when the NCAA poo-pooed the ACC's idea about planning for an NCAA basketball tournament where everyone got a bid because we're in the middle of this freaking pandemic and trying to have a whole season as a pipe dream? Well, I'm curious. Has the NCAA removed its collective head out of its collective ass and looked around? Because it's getting bad again, and the ACC's idea doesn't look so stupid now, does it? And this isn't even news. We all knew it was going to get bad. And despite that, here's college basketball, the sport with the most amount of time to plan, but the least amount of leadership.
Truth ball.
But it's understandable. Why? The NCAA did not approach playing a basketball season in a pandemic with any sort of creativity. You see, it's not the kind of threat that they're used to. Now, if Dat Rona wanted to make money off of its own name, image, and likeness, check out my COVID t-shirt. They'd be on Capitol Hill, the NCAA, right now, working with lawmakers to make sure that COVID wouldn't take any money out of their pockets. Yo, can you imagine if COVID tried to transfer into this country rather than, you know, do what highly contagious viruses tend to do? The NCAA would have denied that waiver request. If the coronavirus showed up to the NCAA tournament holding a non-sanctioned cup on the sideline, you know, the one with the corporate champion logos on it, you know damn well there would be a bubble to keep that thing out.
Truth ball.
Those are the threats the NCAA faces. Now, to be fair, the NCAA isn't completely to blame. The ACC has a little fault too. But as we're coming to find out, John Swofford, the commish, the ADs, the presidents, they all have to answer to somebody as well. They all answer to somebody who sounds like this. Ha ha! Oh boy! If you want my money, you better play 20 conference games! Ha! Ta-da for now! That really was a horrible Mickey Mouse, wasn't it? That was terrible.
I thought it was Chuck Amato for a second.
Discipline!
play You're Full of Shit, Giglio. Listen, I've known Joe has been full of shit since 1975, so this is old news to me. Here's Joe Ovius with the rules, but I can already tell you, Giglio is definitely full of shit, and I should know, I'm his mother.
Thank you very much, Nora. Yes, Giglio's got some trivia. Some of it's true, some of it's made up. It's up to the callers to determine which is which. Richard and Raleigh. Richard, what's up, man?
Hey, how's it going, man?
What you got planned on a Friday night?
Ready to get home and crack a cold beer.
Now we're talking. I'm not too far behind, although I don't know if it's a beer night tonight. It might be a tequila night. We'll see. Matthew Fanville's back.
What's going on?
Maddie in the Knob.
You're really trying to win, dude. I commend your commitment. What
yeah,
you got?
I'm terrible at this game.
What you got planned for the night, Matthew?
Not much. I got to go to Raleigh tomorrow, so I'm over here in Fayetteville, so I'll probably try to get some sleep early.
Okay, gotcha. Not listening to the weekend, I guess. All right, George in Durham. George, what's up?
Hey, guys, how are you?
What you got planned on a Friday night, George?
I'm just coming back from getting my deer stand set up. First day of rifle season tomorrow, so
is that already?
Rest and get up early.
I was going to say, he's not partying tonight.
That's I was going to say, don't you have to get up at 2 o'clock in the morning and cover yourself in deer urine?
No, they didn't do anything to me, so I'm good on that end.
Okay. That's how it works, right? Don't you have to cover yourself in something? That way you blend in? Deer don't see you?
Yeah, something like that.
God, oh, yes.
What?
He's setting up the stand. Just leave him be.
What? That's commitment.
No, I know. No, I
couldn't be me.
I'm all for it.
I would not be interested in the hunting thing is not the part that gets me. Hunt, man.
I just love
humans have been hunting since we were crawling. Okay,
since when, Joe?
Since we were crawling.
I just love you, thinking that you know what's going on.
I don't know. Isn't that what you do when you go deer hunting? I know what you do when you go deer hunting. You drink. Isn't that also what you do?
I don't, but some folks do.
All right.
Then they can't shoot straight, so,
Hey, some people might tell you it's a little elbow oil, gets you in the right position,
That's on the golf course.
All right, let's play You're Full of It, Giglio. Giglio's got some trivia. If you think it's true, don't say anything, but if you think he made it up, shout out your name and Nora will do the rest.
You're full of Giglio.
If you're right and he made it up, you win, but if you're wrong and it's true, you are out of the game and you have to cover yourself in deer urine. Last person standing or the first person to call Giglio out for his BS wins. Let's go.
All right, guys. Jack Nicklaus was the oldest winner of the Masters. It's true. He's 46 years old in 1986 when he won his last title. Maroon 5 was the halftime act of the Super Bowl last year, Super Bowl 54.
George.
You're full of Giglio.
George, get yourself some good sleep. Do well on your hunting tomorrow. Then use your $20 gift card to the original Flying Burrito. Because as everyone knows, Shakira and J-Lo were the halftime act.
Everybody
at the
knows
Super Bowl
that.
Match.
George, congrats, man.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
So what time are you getting up?
5 a.m.
After a Friday night? Hell no. All right, man. Have fun. I hope you shoot some deer or something.
Have a solid urine-free Saturday.
There you go.
Yeah.
It's time for Rant 2.
Acapella the news. What you got cooked up today, Rant?
Boys, I don't know if you saw Thursday Night Football last night, but if you didn't, I have a feeling that there's some people who will. This is the time,
yes,
State fans.
I love it.
This is the time. Let everybody know, especially your girl. Hey, girl. What's up? I know it's late, but I figured you'd be up. Nah, I'm all right. Just thought you might want to know what happened tonight. That game came on, and what I saw on the field made me go numb. Guess who kept scoring for the Colts? Let me tell you where they came from. Girl, you know they're Pack Pros. Gotta make sure everybody knows. So many people in the league don't know what to do. We're not just QBU. Naheem diving for the pylon cam. Who cares about Phil's big fam? Looks like being in a rally was the way to go. I don't know if you heard this, but they're all pack pros.
Hey, girl.
Hey, girl.
Yeah, so it was a big night for NC State last night on Thursday Night Football.
Number one with a bullet.
Yes. Yeah, that was very good. That goes on the OG mixtape.
All right.
That goes on the cassette tape. We'll be dropping around here relatively soon.
Our faults are what make us human. They're also what make our stars likable. The fault of Tiger Woods was not philandering with an adult film star or a Denny's waitress. It was thinking he was perfect. No one is. Not even someone with his gifts. It's been 11 years since Tiger crashed his Escalade outside his family mansion in Florida. He lost his marriage and his spot on an impossible and imaginary pedestal. The transformation of Woods from aloof, unrelatable megastar to a man of the people was complete last year with his title at the Masters. Getting rid of the jerk caddy helped out for the most part, but Woods' redemption has been his willingness to be more like us. He got hurt. He struggled. He got old. Without the missteps and the imperfections, would the sweet emotional moment with his son Charlie behind the 18th green at Augusta meant so much last year? If Tiger had never fallen, would we have been so excited about his comeback? Or for the start of the Masters on Thursday in Woods' opening round 68? You already know the answer. That is your shot of Joe to go. Don't throw it away.
I am not throwing away my shot.
You've been listening to the Best of the OG with Ovius and Giglio Show Podcast, part of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network. Don't forget, this podcast drops every weekday at 3 p.m. And you can find it at WRALSportsFan.com, the WRAL SportsFan app. Or you can subscribe for free at the iTunes and Google Play stores.